Daniel chapter 5, verses 10 through 17, the Bible says, "The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. 'O king, live forever,' she said. 'Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. And in the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar found your father, I'm sorry, King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and the diviners. This man Daniel, whom the killed call Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, the one of the exiles my father the king brought from Judah? I've heard that the spirit of the gods is in you and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom." Would you love that to be said about you? Amen?
Amen.
I love that whole that spirit-filled thing said about me. He says, "I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you. You have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and the enchanters were brought before me to read the writing. Tell me what it means," but they could not explain it. "Now I've heard you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple, have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." And then Daniel answered the king, "You can keep your gift for yourself, and you can give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means." Lord, we come before you. Lord, and we pray your message would come to us this morning, Lord. Lord, we pray for an interpretation of your word that would come and bring enlightenment, Lord, to the challenges that beset us, Lord. Lord, for cancer, Lord, and tumors that come back on Molly, Lord, for the cancer that comes back in our lives, Lord, that you would bring a message of hope, Lord, that you would bring a message of healing, Lord, that you would come and that you would be among us this morning, Lord, that we would not exit into darkness, but into light. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Big events. We're going to read about some big events today. In Daniel chapter 5, and there have been some big events that have been going on in our world if you have been paying attention. Perhaps the biggest is the earthquake and the resulting tsunami in Japan. You guys all know about that, right? Does anybody not know that there was a giant earthquake in Japan? All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good. I just want to make sure everybody is tracking with me. I was watching last night. I want to show you a movie today, a video on it, but it was like 6 minutes long. And if you get a chance, you can Google it. It's on YouTube. And it is a six-minute clip of the water beginning to come into some town. I don't know what town. And it comes in. It's just like a few inches high. You know, it's like, okay, you know, no big deal. And this guy is standing like on the side of a mountain. There's just like walkway up there. And the water comes, and it's like a couple inches, and then there's some cars in front of them, and it's just like the street, you know, like, I don't know, being downtown or something. And water starts coming through, and all of a sudden, you know, the cars start floating, you know, kind of just getting pushed by the water. And then pretty soon, I mean, so it's like a foot high. And then it's like 2 feet tall, and there's big trucks coming down the street. And then it's like 3 feet tall, 4 feet tall. There are boats that begin to come down the street. Then it gets 5 feet tall, and the current is just getting stronger and stronger. And then he shows the water has bashed in the door of the building. It's a store across the street, and he's taking pictures of that. And then he starts moving back up the hill because the water keeps coming and coming and coming. Now there's bigger boats and bigger, and there's just trash that is being washed through. And then he runs over because the buildings are beginning to be washed away. And it's just all this dust, is all these, I mean, it's like on the whole backside of this hill, they're just crumbling. And then he comes running back, and you see over there, and he zooms in. And there's this big group of people surrounded by the flow of water, stranded. And then the clip ends. We're talking about the plan of God today. Talking about the flow of the plan of God and the will of God. And as we read about this king, that he is standing in the way of the plan of God. That he has set himself up against the Lord. And in the same way that these people were stranded by the flow of water from that tsunami, that we see Belteshazzar being surrounded by the flow of the plan of God. And the question I have for you today is, are you going with the flow or are you standing against it? Are you stepping with the program of God or are you trying to make your own program? Are you trying to make your own plan? Because as we'll take a look at Belshazzar, it did not work out well for him. I don't want to say Belteshazzar because it's a different name. You know, it's kind of like James and John. It's like Juan and Jose. You know, very different names. But if you're not familiar with them, man, they sound pretty darn close. Anyway, we have a new player that we're hearing about today. First time we've heard of Belshazzar. I'm corrected. Yes, for our Hebrew and Chaldean specialists among us. Also does coffee and tea, by the way. Look her up after church. And what we see is Belshazzar is the Nebuchadnezzar, rewind to Daniel chapter 4, has been dead for 24 years. Okay? So we're skipping ahead. Let me make sure I got my dates right. And Belshazzar has reigned for 13 years. Now, his father, Nabonidus, is actually the king. But he moved into Babylon, said, I don't like this place. And about 4 years into his reign, he said, I'm going into the desert. I'm going to build me a new palace in the desert in a place called Tama. Okay? Doesn't really matter. But he leaves, goes out in the desert. He's making his new palace. And he leaves his son, Belshazzar, in charge in Babylon. And so it is 13 years later. That is where we pick up our story. And it's a tumultuous time of history. I tell you, we've got some stuff coming at us. It could be a tumultuous time. We don't know what's coming on. But and you know what? Belshazzar did not know what was happening around him. But Cyrus the Great, Persian king, is on the move. He is conquering all the way up into Lydia, which is modern-day Turkey, all the way, and he's already got all of Iran and all that stuff, all the way down into Egypt and all the way back over to India. And this guy is on the move. And he has surrounded, his general is called Darius the Mede, okay? Darius the Mede. And he has surrounded Babylon and lays siege to it. Now, Babylon has 330-foot high walls. a little altitude there. Can I get a witness on that? Babylon has not fallen to an opponent in 1,000 years. That's why they're going to lay siege to it, because you can't tear down the walls. There was no way for them to tear down the walls. And it had a never-ending water supply because the Euphrates River ran right through the town. So they'd have all the water they ever needed. And Belshazzar is not so worried about Cyrus the Great. And he's thinking that he's in control. And he does not realize, he does not understand what is truly going on. He does not realize that he is part of the plan of God. The title of today's message is Getting with God's Program. And some of you are doing that. Some of you are getting with God's program. And some of you are thinking, you know what, I'll come to church on Sunday, but realistically I'm on my program and I'm doing okay. That's what Belshazzar used to think. Look at this guy. See, God sent it a message. Amen? But Belshazzar's getting hooked up. He's got that hand working. He'll be playing bass for us pretty soon. Amen? Amen. God will send you a message. He's getting ready to send a message to Belshazzar because Belshazzar thinks that he is in control of everything around him. I'm the king. I get to do what I want to do. And he does not realize that he is stepping onto the edge of the plan of God. You see, God is sending a message to his people. Amen?
Amen.
In Daniel, God is sending a message to Belshazzar. He's also sending messages. We've seen the messages going to Nebuchadnezzar and through them to all the people. And the message that God is sending is do not worship idols. Do not worship foreign idols, any of that stuff. Don't do it. I don't like it. I'm a jealous God. It'll mess you up. And he sent that message over and over again for the last 1,000 years. And over again, his children continue to fall into idolatry over and over and over again. And the prophet Jeremiah, you can read it in Jeremiah chapter 25. He says that you will be taken into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And God's plan is to purge that idolatry out of his children. And it works. After the Babylonian captivity, there is never, ever a recorded instance of God's children falling into idolatry. Now, what Belshazzar does not realize is that 70 years that Jeremiah prophesied started with Daniel 67 years earlier. There's some stuff that is coming up. And Belshazzar, he's thinking, I got this thing dialed. And he does not realize that he needs to get with God's program or he's going to get bowled over. As we read this text, the Bible tells us that he's actually standing against the Lord. How about you? Where are you at with the Lord today? Are you going with the flow or are you standing in the way? Because I'll tell you what, you can find fullness in the flow of the Lord. Amen? Are we good? Are we good? Amen. Thank you. I got to get all that, get you on track before we get on. All right, let's go back and then we're going to talk about this writing. You guys ever heard the saying, read the writing on the wall? Yes. That's where this comes from, right here. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and concubines might drink from them. Now, everybody wants to be strong. And Belshazzar is making a great display. He's got 1,000 of his best leaders in Babylon, maybe from all over the place. And he has drawn them in, and he's trying to make sure that everybody gets on the same page. That's good leadership. Amen? You know, it's like, hey, get everybody in here. Let's get everybody dialed in. And he makes this great display of the strength of Babylon. He says, hey, let's talk about how strong that we really are. Let's take a look at all of these kingdoms that we have vanquished. And they celebrated their previous victories. And 1,000 nobles came and they became welded together against the threat of Cyrus the Great. They became welded together against the threat of the Persian army that was camped right outside of Babylon. Because however impregnable Babylon was and how strong the walls were, 330 feet. That's a lot of walls. That's 330 feet, 100 yards is 300 feet. That's like a football field standing on end with both end zones. Right? I think that's 20, probably 340 with both end zones. So that's, see, LaDainian Thompson running uphill. You know, hey. Maybe, I don't know if we can make it. Okay. So, but having an army around your town means there's not going to be any trade. And life is going to be different. They began to drink to the gods of Babylon. Nebo, Marduk, Bel, and Ishtar. Haven't let us down before. Let us marshal our power. And you know what? As a threat is mounted against them, this is a common response. What we want to do is take a look and say, okay, here's the threat. Let's take a look at what we got. Let's not get too excited. Let's take a look at our past. Let's see what we've done. We're going to come through this. It's going to be okay. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, do you do that? When something comes up new against you, do you actually take stock of your life and take a look and say, how did I deal with this before? And I'll be able to get through this. Because sometimes we just remember the good stuff. Can I get a witness on that? Sometimes we don't really have an accurate picture of our past. They go, oh, I messed this up, and I messed this up, and I messed this up. Yeah. You've got to have an accurate picture of your past. Because when you look at your past, I'm wondering what you see. Amen. You see something that needs to be changed? Or do you just see flowers back there? All right. So, got the picture? We got the goblets of Yahweh held in the hands of the nobles. They're drinking, they're toasting their gods, and all of a sudden, everything changes. Suddenly, check it out now, suddenly the fingers of a human hand. I mean, it's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or something, you know what I mean? We got body parts manifesting themselves, and then right now, it doesn't say a hand, and it doesn't say a finger. It says the fingers of an hand. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if there was like 2, 3, 4 fingers all writing a word. But I do know that it would grab your attention. Amen? Amen. Suddenly, bam! Suddenly, the fingers of a... It's like, whoa, look at that! And everybody, you know, hey, they're partying, they're drinking wine, maybe a little bit loaded. All of a sudden, do you see that? Whoa! Haven't seen that before. They wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand at the royal palace. Now, the lampstand would have been at a real focused place, big place. And the king watched the hand as it wrote. Notice it says it's a hand. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. God sends a rather graphic message. I think this is a rather gruesome picture. The message that was written, we get this later on. Mene, mene, tekel, parson. Anybody know? Oh, I got my Hebrew scholar right there. No, don't tell me. I just want to know. Now, one thing, if I wanted to talk about Hebrew with you guys, okay, which even knows, is that there are no vowels in Hebrew or Akkadian or Arabic. They use vowel points. And the vowel points are written above and below the letters. Right, Eva? Right. So, what would have been written would have been this. Tekel, and it could mean all kinds of different things. You got to put your vowels in there, and there can be verbs, it could be nouns, it could be adjectives, it could be all kinds of stuff. So you got the hand, you got the fingers of the hand, you got some kind of writing thing going on, and then you got this obscure message. You couldn't just read it. It didn't come out looking like that. It came out looking like this. It didn't. It was gibberish, and it was freaking everybody out. It was freaking the king out. And it was a message from God. Stop the party cold. Nobody's drinking anymore. Maybe some guy's drinking a whole bunch now. An incredibly bizarre display. And Belteshazzar realized something. That he was no longer in control of the situation. The night has turned out incredibly different than he had expected. I would imagine that as the time went on, maybe he's going to have soldiers come parading through and we're going to have a display of might that we really don't have to worry about Cyrus the Great, the Persian army, all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, boom, we are thinking about something entirely different. Sometimes that happens in our lives. Amen? We'll get a message and things don't turn out the way we had anticipated. I think back on my life, and my life used to be a whole lot different than it is now. Can I get a witness from anybody out there? I used to stand against the plan of the Lord. And what is incredibly awesome is to see the plan of God being manifest in so many of your lives. Now, my question for you, as Mike is coming on up. Oh, I gotta get my, hey, Jared, I want to use this microphone, buddy. So hook me up. My question for you is, as you're sitting there, are you celebrating the goodness of the plan of God being released in your life? Or are you going, how come I'm not in the plan of the Lord? How come I'm not being used? How come things aren't working out well for me? Now, last week, Roki brought the offering, and Aaron brought a credible testimony. And there's a lot of testimonies that I could bring. Lisa said, hey, we're having testimonies last Wednesday, and I had testimonies. But Mike, I even had Eva come up and talk. Mike and Eva talk on Wednesday night. I had Mike come on up here. And hold that mic up here so I can get on you, Mike. Mike on the mic. And things changed for you and Eva at the beginning of this year.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk what happened to Mike this week. He had a big week. But just briefly, tell us what happened, what's been going on in your life over the last 3 months.
Well, basically, we lost everything. We had to go stay on somebody's couch. And so we've been coming to the church ever since then, getting back into the Word of God. And I was never one that was really that devout about doing that. I was one of those ones that was going to church and picking up on things here and there, but I was never really reading because I don't like to read. And so,
now, why do you know you don't like to read? Because what happens when you read?
It puts me to sleep.
Now, he was the best pitcher. He and I had been working with Joe and Joe's buddy on their pitching. And he was the best pitcher in the league down in Chula Vista. You're going to play for high school, but your grades caught up with you,
yeah.
And so you couldn't play baseball anymore.
Right.
And so this has been a lifelong issue. Amen. Amen? And so, but you guys have been making some hard choices over the last 3 months. Things have been changing, amen?
Amen.
And haven't been working, been still staying on the couch.
Right.
All kinds of stuff going on, but being faithful to the Lord, putting your eyes upon the Lord, saying we want to be right before the Lord in a relationship and do all these things right. Mm-hmm. And then you've been having some questions about how come I can't get a job?
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, you got a job this week.
Yes, sir.
Amen. A round of applause. Yeah. And we've been talking over the last week about why weren't you getting a job?
Right.
Why weren't you? What did you find out? Well, I mean, now that you got one, now that you got all the answers, how many of you guys need a job, by the way? Mike has answers. Here we go.
Well, last Saturday in the men's breakfast, I put it out there that, you know, I'm struggling with the issue that I've been praying and about getting a job and not receiving it. So I was really struggling with it, you know, and asking the Lord why. And that's why I put it out there at the men's breakfast. And then again on a Bible study on Monday. And the men's breakfast, Martin put it on me that I need to put it out there every day, pray on it, and expect it, you know, like every day, and make a plan and put it in writing, if it helps. And to just expect it, you know, expect the results and so on. And I also read in the Word that it talks about if you're praying, you're not receiving, then it has to do with that you're praying, your expectations are for the wrong reasons. You're expecting, you know, material things and so on out of
the
results.
That's what James says, you receive not because you ask not when you ask amiss, that you might receive and spend what you get on your pleasures.
And so this week, Pastor gave me a life journal, and I've been delving into the Word more and reading, doing the actual reading.
And I started on Monday. How many of you guys got, you know what the life journal is, right? I got some in the back, get you one. It's a daily reading, and it's been tough.
It's tough.
It's tough, but you've been plowing through, right?
I've been doing it. I haven't been doing all of it every day because it's a lot, and it's. I started off on the date that it has it for every day of the year. And the date that I started off was May 31st, I believe, and starts you off in Judges. And I don't know if any of you have ever read Judges, but it's a tough read. It's a tough read. I mean, just in the names alone, you know, it's none of them like the names of today. So it's a tough read.
Belshazzars and stuff like that.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar's. So I started off in that and doing that, and it. I just changed my heart about doing it, about how I was approaching it. And I believe that that's how I got the results this week. When I brought it up in men's breakfast, in the Bible study, Monday about needing work. Mike said, I got some work for you later this week. I'll give you a call. And so we worked on Wednesday. And while I was working with him, he goes, do you need clothes? Because I came to work in a brand new pair of pants, what I just had got the night before for the work, the job to do that day. Because in January, I've been wearing one pair of pants every day. So I wore a hole in them. And I couldn't wear them. So I had to get a new pair. Anyways, Mike hooked me up.
So Mike's work is digging in mud. All right? So they're just like digging in mud. He's going, dude, what are you doing, man? I mean, you got new clothes on. And so he relates to Mike, hey, I got the hole in my pants. I got the new pants to work with you. And Mike blessed you. How did Mike bless you?
He hooked me up with a lady that he knows, Irma, and she has
right
got uniforms and stuff like that that you see me wearing today for a cheap price. And he hooked me up with like five pairs of pants and a couple shirts and so on. And I got home from work that day from working with him and had a message on my machine that this place that I had applied for, I've been waiting to hear back from for like 2 weeks just for my background investigation to go through, which I don't have a background. I don't have a history legal-wise or whatnot. And the message was that I got the job to call her. And
so this is what you've been wearing. You got five pants, a couple pairs of shirt that you've been wearing to work every day.
Yeah, that's what I'm wearing.
I told him, I asked him to wear this today so that you guys could see. The hookup from Mike, hookup from Irma. Amen. And so you discovered that when you're faithful, God's faithful. Amen.
Amen.
And so now you had a great week and you're done with the Lord. Right? I mean, this is it. You've got your job and you can just cruise now?
No, sir.
What does that mean? So what's going on?
It's just exciting to see how the Lord comes through for you when you actually put in the footwork.
Now, you still need a place, right?
Yes, sir.
And before you were praying what? Lord, oh, there's this place. I could use this place. Now, how are you praying now?
Or for a car, you know, I'd be like, that one would be great, Lord. You know, or, you know, I want that one. Or, now, I'm putting it in the Lord's hands. The Lord knows what I need, and the Lord will take care of it.
So how do you pray now? Lord, I need a place, whatever place you got, right?
I know that you know what I need, Lord, and you know, I know that you need a place, I need a car, and so on, and I know that you'll take care of me when it's time.
Amen. 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 I thought you guys might like that. Yeah? Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. So, let's see. Let's get point number two. We're going to be a little bit late. Is that okay? All right, that's good. All right, if anybody tries to leave, Roki, don't let them leave. All right, here we go. Go to verses 7 and 8. The king called out for the enchanters, the astrologers, the diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple, have a gold chain placed around their neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. And then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. And Belshazzar is looking for answers. Mike, last week, he was looking for answers. He's saying, hey, how come this is not working out for me? And when things in our lives start losing control, we want answers. Belshazzar wants answers, and he calls in the pros just like back in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 4. And he says, you got some new clothes, I'll give you a promotion, third highest ruler in the kingdom because Nabonidus' dad was the tops, he was second, so he'd make the prime minister. You can be in control of everything. Tell me what this means. And once again, the pros fall short. Pros can't figure out. The enchanters, the magicians, the soothsayers, all the astrologers, they can't figure out the message of God. And that is something that we should be used to by now. Paul, 600 years later, tells us about that. He says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Can I get a witness on that, please? He says, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And you are going to need some spiritual assistance if you are going to understand the message of the Spirit of God. Amen? So I call in Daniel. One more time. Now, Daniel is probably 80 years old by now. probably been in mothballs for the whole 13 years of Belshazzar's reign, and probably the 6 years before that as well. And they call in Daniel, and he wasn't their first choice. He wasn't even on the list. And they called in Daniel because Daniel's a man of God. And you will find, I have found in my life, when people get in trouble, they eventually will get around to calling on the Lord. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'll tell you what, 9/11 happened, the attack on the Trade Center, the Twin Towers. There was a bump in church attendance. Lasted for a minute. Yeah. Katrina happened. People called upon the name of the Lord. Help us, Lord. Save us, Lord. Lasted for a minute. My question is, it lasts for you. You come to the Lord with challenges, and you come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me, save me, transform my situation. And doesn't he do that? Amen? My question is, does your focus last? Does your attention last, or is it just for a minute, and then you're back in control? Amen?
Amen.
Because there's some that come running. They run out as quickly as they run in. Sometimes things just look bad, folks. They were looking bad for Belshazzar. Daniel gives him the answer. He says, O king, Most High God, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty. Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar greatness and glory and splendor. And because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. And those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and he was stripped of his glory. And Daniel says, don't forget the plan of God, Belshazzar. Because you have seen it in your past. You have heard about it in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. See, Nebuchadnezzar is also called Nebuchadnezzar the Great. He reigned for 43 years. Right after his death, there were three kings in 6 years. There was no continuity. There was no power. There was no splendor. There was no glory. Then Nabonidus took over. He didn't like Babylon. He left. And Belshazzar is in control. Nebuchadnezzar stood out. And Daniel says, don't forget why Nebuchadnezzar stood out. It was because he had the power of God behind him. Now, he didn't even realize it. Nebuchadnezzar is a powerful dude. He's saying, hey, it's all me. And when Nebuchadnezzar began to feel that way, God gave him the mind of an animal. Sometimes God, it just doesn't seem like he plays fair. Because how can you stand against the Lord? How can you stand against the plan of God? Yet some of us will do that. Amen? Some of us have done that. I have done that in my life. I said, no, Lord, I don't need you. I am fine. I'll just go it on my own. And my life got worse and worse and worse and worse. Happened to you? Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? He said, don't forget about Nebuchadnezzar. He was given the mind of an animal until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of man. He was fed grass until he looked up towards heaven and acknowledged the power of God. And this is the theme of the book of Daniel. The Bible says, God does what he wants with the kingdoms of men. God says, I'll raise up kingdoms, I'll drop them down. What's important is not your kingdom, but your understanding of who I am. And Belshazzar is standing in the way, standing against the plan of God. And Daniel is saying, this is going to roll over you. Show you that picture again. You didn't reload that, did you, bud? It's okay, it's too late now. Remember that picture of the tsunami, of that flood coming over? That is what is getting ready to happen in Belshazzar's life. The flood of God. And if you were standing against the plan of God, that flood will overwhelm you. I got to ask you, are you going with the flow or are you standing in the way? Because you can find fullness in the flow of the plan of God. Amen? Amen? All right. Poor choices rarely turn out well. Have you found that to be true? You live long enough, you find that Bible works out. He says, but you, his son, O Belteshazzar, have not humbled yourself. You're just like Nebuchadnezzar before God humbled him. He says, you have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have sent yourself up against the Lord. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you and to your nobles, your wives and your concubines. You drank from them. You praised the God of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hands your life and your ways. Amen. Do you do that? Do you honor God because he holds your life in his hands? That he holds your ways in his hands? He says, remember it was God that was working in Nebuchadnezzar. Remember it is God that holds your life in his hands, Belshazzar. I know you do not agree with that. I know you do not accept that. See, he brought, Belshazzar is making a display. And Belshazzar brought out those goblets from the temple of Jerusalem. I think because he wanted to show how great and mighty he was. They were on display as a testimony to the humility of Nebuchadnezzar. And Belshazzar is saying, I will not bend my knee. And Cyrus the Great will not humble us. We will have dominion over all who would stand against us. And he forgot how truly powerful the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob truly was. And what he also does not realize is that he steps right into the plan of God. Because I got to imagine that God was not even on the minds of those thousand nobles. You know what I'm talking about? The last thing they're thinking about is the God who had Nebuchadnezzar destroy the temple in Jerusalem. And he brings to their mind the power and the majesty of the Creator God. And that's right where he should be. Right in the midst of our minds, amen? We forget and we get all wrapped up with our issues and our power and our pride that God would send us a message. And God, as they're drinking from those goblets, thinking, yeah, what about this God? A hand appears and begins to write on that wall. I wonder if it had that chalkboard sound, you know? Remember we talked about that? Now everybody, 1,000 of the most powerful nobles in Babylon are thinking of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, Belshazzar puts God in the mix right where he should be. Because this is the last night of his kingdom. This is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. I got to think Belshazzar at this point is going, what a bummer. Should have put the goblets away. Shouldn't have brought out the wine tonight. Have you ever thought that? There's been nights in my life I said, I should not have brought out the wine. That was one of these nights. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. God's judgment is final, folks. God's judgment is final. One thing I notice here, folks, Belshazzar learns the fear of the Lord too late. Numbered, measured, and divided. Message is as clear as a bell to Daniel. Nobody else could get it. Daniel has the gift of God. Your kingdom is given to the Medes and the Persians. You know, one thing I noticed that is incredibly relevant here, folks. There is no second chance for Belshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar, you remember? Nebuchadnezzar got chances. Daniel said, hey, if you would just humble yourself before the Lord, maybe he won't do this. He doesn't say that to Belshazzar. And I'm wondering, you know, in my life, I have got second chances. How about you in your life? You got second chances? The Lord would speak to your heart and say, hey, here you go. I'm going to give you a chance. Hold the communion elements in your hands today. And the Lord is saying, you need to check a second chance today, son. Because you haven't been acting where I want you to act. And because I got a second chance, and because you have received second chances, and because Nebuchadnezzar had second chances, and Belshazzar is offered no second chance, I think he used them all up. I think he was to the end of the line. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain. And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. When you're out of chances, folks, you're out of chances. Can I tell you a little history? That night, Darius had his engineers upstream on the Euphrates River, and they were building a dam, and they diverted the Euphrates River to an old course, an old way that it used to go. And while Belshazzar is in with a thousand nobles and all the leaders of Babylon, partying it up, the Euphrates River's level is going down, down, down. And the Persian army walks in under the gates where the river used to flow. And they take the entire city. And Belshazzar is killed. See, we can think that we have our lives totally under control. You might be focused on what your fingernails look like, what your hair looks like. I'm noticing these youth girls over here messing around. And you know what? The Lord doesn't care what your fingernails look like, your lip gloss looks like, what your hair looks like. Here's a question for you today. How are you with my son? How are you with the blood shed on the cross for you? My question for you is, are you going with the flow? Or are you standing in the way? Because Jesus said, whoever is not with me is against me. And are you with our Lord today? Are you with God or are you against God? See, many of you are here today, and you hear Mike's testimony, and you're going, woohoo! You're like a little fuss pump going, because you're thinking, that's going on in my life too. And you are here today, and you are celebrating, I am in the plan of God. Belshazzar asked him, what's going on with your hand? He says, it's good, I can feel my fingertips. Going to be playing the bass pretty soon. Got Julie, has the kids thing going on. Got Eva, got the coffee thing going on. Irma had an incredible impact with those uniforms on Mike's life. Amen? See, so many of you are here and you're just going, God, I thank you that you are so mighty and so awesome. Amen? Just feel like singing. Lisa, why don't you come up here and play a little something for us? Maybe you're here today and you are just sensing the power of God in your life. Amen? So you know the testimony that the Lord has. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And you're going, oh, Lord Jesus, I just received that from you. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Yes. You feeling that? Yes. You feeling that? Yes. She's coughing today. She's going, I know that the Lord has a plan for me. You know, the Lord right now is just speaking to your heart, and you're just feeling good. You're feeling pumped up. You feeling good back there, Roki? You're just feeling like, oh, this, I'm taking that good news. right now, maybe just lift a hand and say, Lord, I thank you for your goodness in this place. I thank you, Lord, that you are working in my life, Lord. I thank you that you don't leave me alone, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a hope and a future for me. Lord, that you guide and direct and transform situations, Lord, that I am giving you my life, that I am ready for more. Just as Mike said, show me what you got, Lord. Your provision is enough for me. Lord, I'll take the place you provide, the car you provide, all the stuff. You know what I need, Lord. I'm going to lay it all down. I'm not going to be standing in your way anymore. I'm going to be going with your flow. Is that you today? You feeling good today? Oh, I'm seeing hands all over the place. Hallelujah. You can put those hands down. You know, but maybe you are here today. Maybe you're here today and you are just feeling cold. You said, you know what? I have been standing against the plan of the Lord in my life. And right now the Lord is saying, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And if you are feeling that right now, it is because in God's great mercy, he has given you a second chance. You're not like Belshazzar this morning. Say, go outside, you're dead. I'm taking you out today. He says, because of the blood shed on Calvary, I'll give you a second chance. I have a scripture for you. If the Lord has given you a second chance, he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And if today you are hearing the message of God and he is saying, you have stood against me for your whole life. You have stood against, I knew you, but you have started to stand against me. You've started to go your own way. You are prideful. You are arrogant. And it is time to surrender your life. Bible says, do not harden your hearts. You got a second chance today just because of the mercy of God. You walk out of here and you throw it on the ground, you might not get a second chance. Belshazzar used off all of his second chances. And I pray that if you are receiving that chance this morning, that you do not toss it aside. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning, Lord, and for every person in this room. Lord, I pray that thoughts of fingernails and lip gloss and hair and lunch and baseball and golf and standing against you, Lord, would just pass away. And Lord, that you put our mind right now on a second chance. Lord, right now is just saying, my child, I have loved you for so long. I have called your name and you have not heard. And you are hearing my voice this morning. I'm giving you a second chance. It is time to begin to go with the flow, to get into my plan, to surrender your life to me and to find fullness in me. No one's looking around right now, but the Lord is extending you a second chance, and it could be your last one. You didn't feel blessed before. You didn't feel like you were progressing with the Lord. You didn't feel like you were stepping in his plan and feeling fullness and joy. But you're feeling something that is unique right now. Feeling an offer of second chance, and you're saying, Lord, I'm not gonna mess this up. I'm not gonna miss this. I'm not gonna cast it aside. Nobody's looking around. But the Lord is extending a nail-pierced hand from heaven and saying, reach out to me, and you can step into my plan for your life. You can step into hope and a future. Nobody's looking around right now, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. I just want you to just raise your hand and say, that's me, Lord, right here, and here, and here, and here. All over the place. Back here, back here. Anybody else? You put your hand down. I saw your hand earlier. Here, right here, yes, yes. Hallelujah, back there, yes. Say, I'm going to make a change, Lord. I want to be like Belshazzar. I don't want to walk out of this place and be slain. I want to go outside and get hit by a bus. Lord, I want to be like Mike, and it's hard to read the word, but I'm going to power through, Lord. I'm going to start lining myself up on you. I'm going to just trust, Lord, that you're going to work through your people and bring blessings my way.